Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. As we go to air Monday morning, cases of COVID-19 are moving back up in Illinois. Yesterday, Sunday, there were 954 newly confirmed cases reported by the Illinois Department of Public Health. The seven-day average for new cases is up 21% over a week earlier and 38% over late June, when Illinois entered phase four of easing restrictions and allowing businesses to reopen. A quick programming note, we had planned to bring you a conversation today with Dr. Ngozi Ezike, director of the Illinois Department of Public Health. She had to postpone, and we hope to bring that to you soon. Meanwhile, the economic fallout from the pandemic continues. Chicago-based United Airlines announced last week that nearly half its workforce, more than 36,000 employees, could be out of work come October. Joining us now to talk about this are two voices. One should be familiar to public radio listeners. David Shaper is a Chicago-based national correspondent for NPR who focuses on the transportation beat. David, welcome back to the 21st.
Well, thanks for having me, Brian.
Also with us is Mike Clem, president and directing general chair of IAM District 141 in Elk Grove Village. IAM District 141 represents machinists and aerospace workers at nearly half a dozen airlines, including United. Mike, welcome to the 21st.
Good morning, Brian. Appreciate you having me on.
Well, thanks for being here. And if you listeners have questions or thoughts about United's announcement or just any thoughts on air travel in general, you can always join our conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. The number again is 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st show. That's 21st show. So, David, I'm just going to begin with you. Kind of what is the basic overview here, right? Chicago-based United Airlines is looking at deep cuts. What is the outline of what they're saying?
Well, what the airline outlined last week is a plan to, just notifying 36,000 of their employees, which is about 45% of the company's domestic-based employees, that come October 1st, until October 1st, any airline that is taking any of the funding from the federal government under the CARES Act is prohibited from laying off employees in a significant way until that funding runs out, which is September 30th. So come October 1st, the airline is saying we may need to eliminate 36,000 jobs. And they're saying that it doesn't necessarily mean it will be that many. Part of this is a move to try to encourage, it seems, a lot of employees to take voluntary separation agreements, early retirements, or just voluntarily leave the airline but retaining some benefits so they don't have to resort to these involuntary furloughs. But it's a shockwave. You're talking 15,000 flight attendants, 11,000 gate agents and other airport customer service representatives, 5,500 airplane maintenance workers, 2,200 plus pilots. There's a lot of employees who could be on the unemployment rolls instead of employed by United Airlines. And they're just the first airline to signal this. So other airlines will likely follow suit.
Yeah, I can't imagine that they are particularly uniquely positioned in terms of this global slowdown in air travel that we've seen.
Yeah. Well, go ahead. It's just the industry as a whole has been devastated by the coronavirus outbreak, and the pandemic has kept people off of planes by and large. Now, there had been signs of a slight uptick in air travel over the month of June, and it kind of culminated with the 4th of July weekend. But then these big outbreaks that we're seeing in other parts of the country, and numbers, as you alluded to at the top of the show, is ticking up here in Illinois as well. That's got people nervous about getting back on planes. But even with the uptick that we had seen recently, there is still just 25% of the volume that we saw traveling by air compared to last year. So it was still down. Air travel was still down 75% or more, and it's getting worse once again.
Okay, so Mike Clem, I want to bring you into the conversation. Who does IAM District 141 represent, and what is your experience working with the airline industry?
So I've been part of the airline industry for just about 30 years now, and I've been a union representative at the district level probably for the last 12, 13 of those years. So we represent the customer service agents, the fleet service employees, ramp service employees, the storekeepers, central load planners. We have 7 different contracts on United. So we represent roughly 27,000-28,000 people over there.
Wow. And so for the airline to receive the money under the CARES Act, as David mentioned a little while ago, Mike, they had to announce these potential furloughs 60 days before October 1st, but they made the announcement even earlier than they needed to. Mike, can you talk about the timing of this announcement? What you think is behind that?
Great question, Brian. So in New York, the WARN Act calls for employees who are working in New York to receive a 90-day notice. Contractually, it's 60 days, so United was obviously in line with that. But New York requires a 90-day notice. And along with that, in states like yours, Illinois, New York, New Jersey, and California, although the other three, California, New Jersey, and Illinois, only require a 60-day notification, all 4 of those states require a written notification. So instead of sending them to 100 or so, or maybe 200 or so people in New York, they just, any state that required a written notification of a WARN notice, all 4 of those states received their notifications. They went out last week. So that's the reason they sent them out early, is just to keep them in line with the one state that has the 90-day requirement, which is New York.
Okay. Okay. And do you know how many United Airlines workers here in Illinois could be at risk of losing their jobs?
So there'll be approximately 1,500 to 2,000 of our members who live and reside in Illinois that will receive notifications that they could be impacted by the furlough. Obviously, an astronomical number, since we represent about 5,000 members that live or reside in Illinois.
Yeah, and David, as you were saying, I mean, I don't know if you know the number in Illinois specifically, but that's just one fraction, because that's only part of United's workforce, right?
Right, right. I mean, this is where the corporate headquarters are, but United has bases all around the country, where it's you know, flight attendants are based, where its pilots and other flight crew members are based. They really have employees or contract employees at every airport they operate in. So this is something that will ripple effect. The ripple effect will go all across the country.
Yeah. And Mike, so as I understand, the CEO of United Airlines is fairly new to the role. Scott Kirby came in just a couple of months ago. How has United been working with the union during this crisis?
So we've been doing, Brian, we've been putting together some voluntary programs, and you heard David mention them, like voluntary separation programs, leave of absence programs, and they've all been working over the summer, but now we're trying to devise even more incentivized voluntary programs to further mitigating type of furloughs moving forward. So we're having some good dialogue on them. United has come a long way in the last month or so, and I think within the next week or two, I think we're going to be able to finalize some very fair voluntary programs for the employees that work at United and our members to further mitigate any furloughs or some of the furloughs. I don't think we'll be able to mitigate all of them, because it's a big number, as David gave you, but we're going to try to mitigate as many as we possibly can.
And Mike, what would you like to see from, I wonder if the airline or the government, when it comes to, you know, if there's a chance to prevent these layoffs from happening, what would you like to see them doing to try and make that, you know, to keep that from happening?
Well, what we've done is we've solicited the government to possibly extend the CARES Act through March of 2021. And we feel like if they did that, you know, the airline industry, like many of the industries around the country, but the airline industries in particular, like once again, just to kind of jump on David's coattails there, he kind of gave you, like, we're flying at 25% capacity. And although it's gotten drastically better since April, we still have a long way to go, you know, from flying 2.3 to 2.5 million passengers a day at this time last year to somewhere between 650 and 700,000. So as of yesterday, on average, in July only, before July, it was much even less than that. But if we feel like if the government would be gracious enough to give an extension of the CARES Act money, same strings, you know, I think what the airline's afraid of is that this assistance would come in the form of loans, any extension, and we just would like to see the government just have the same parameters around the CARES Act that they had in the first go-around, which is going to carry us through October 1st.
You know, early in the show, I mentioned that we had an interview scheduled with Dr. Ezike, the head of the Illinois Department of Public Health. That's been postponed. But I did want to ask you, Mike, about some of the health concerns around COVID-19 for airline workers. We've seen airlines making changes in terms of how they're booking planes and whether passengers are required to wear masks. What do you think? I mean, has United in particular done enough to ensure the safety of your members?
I feel like they have. They've mandated masks for passengers on aircraft. Now, of course, as you know, Brian, there's people out there that don't believe in the mask theory, that it's not necessary, but clearly it is. I live in New York. It's made a significant difference here in this area. You know, mostly everybody's adhering to the rule of wearing a mask. And, you know, our employees, our members, they have to wear them, you know, 8-9 hours a day. And, you know, obviously that could be a little bit daunting in the summertime, but everybody realizes it's the evil necessity to make sure everybody stays safe and goes home just the way they came to work.
Mike Lum is president and directing general chair of IAM District 141, which represents machinists and aerospace workers, ramp agents, as we heard, for United Airlines and nearly half a dozen other airlines. Mike, thanks so much for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Appreciate you having me, Brian. Have a great day.
You too. And David Shaper from NPR, national reporter focusing on transportation. We're going to ask you to stick around for our reporters roundtable. And also joining us for that are going to be Stephanie Zimmerman, who is a consumer affairs reporter at the Chicago Sun-Times. Neil Early, who's a public affairs reporting intern also at the Chicago Sun-Times based in Springfield. And Morley Musick, who's a freelance reporter in Chicago who's written for Southside Weekly, The Nation, and other publications. Welcome to all of you. David, I want to just piggyback off of what I was asking Mike about there just a moment ago, which is safety in the airlines, and you've been reporting on this as well. What are some of the changes that we're seeing now based on the sort of early days when people were flying in nearly empty airplanes, you know, wearing Tyvek suits, it seems?
All of the airlines, or at least most of the biggest airlines, I should say, are requiring that their passengers wear masks. But this is not a federal requirement, so this does not have the weight of the law, and there is a great wide range of disparities between how these airlines enforce it. And it could vary not just from airline to airline, but flight crew to flight crew. I'm seeing on Twitter today photographs of Texas Senator Ted Cruz on a flight over the weekend, not wearing a mask in the gate area, and just never putting one on the entire flight, and some passengers being upset and saying that, you know, not only him but a few others on this flight didn't have masks, and the flight attendants didn't say anything at all to them about it. And that makes a lot of people nervous. Some airlines are blocking out middle seats to provide a little bit extra physical distance between passengers on the planes. But even with the middle seat blocked out, you're still not at the CDC recommended 6 feet away from a fellow passenger. You're, in fact, still less than 3 feet away from the passenger next to you. You do have that open seat. There is a new study that came out over the weekend from MIT. It is not a peer-reviewed study, but it does suggest that that a little extra distance does help if you're on a plane, and packing people on flights together, filling those middle seats, puts people at greater risk. So there's a lot of nervousness still about boarding an airplane and whether or not it's safe to be there. So there's quite a bit of concern, and there are consumer groups and passenger rights groups who are pleading with the federal government to enact some uniform standards across the industry, to have some regulations that will protect passengers. And to some degree, there are those in the industry that would like to see that too, because that would help instill a little bit more confidence in people wanting to get back on planes and maybe increase demand and help the business a little bit.
But David, just in about a minute and a half before we break, but I've seen your reporting that the federal government so far, at least, is not going to be stepping in with
the Trump administration is has made its objective from the very get-go, long before the coronavirus pandemic, that they don't want to impose new regulations on any industry. In fact, for every new rule or regulation they create, they want two repealed. And that's certainly been the truth in the airline industry and other transportation industries. There is no public mandate or no federal mandate for wearing masks, for social distancing, for even the standards by which they clean the planes. So there's still a lot of uncertainty, and that makes a lot of people nervous about whether or not they should get back on a plane.
And as you said, some of these airlines are looking at booking those middle seats now, or maybe already even have.
Yeah, American Airlines and United, the two of the biggest airlines, have said that they will fill a plane if there is demand. There hasn't been a tremendous amount of demand for that, but they're flying fewer flights. So, you know, those routes that are more popular are going to have some planes that are full or close to it. And people are surprised when they get on the plane and they're like, oh, my God, there are people sitting right next to me. In front and in back of me. And that again, makes a lot of people nervous.
Okay. We're going to continue this conversation, our reporters roundtable, after a short break. We're going to be taking a look at not only air travel, but people being evicted during the pandemic and the last county in Illinois to report a case of COVID-19. You're listening to The 21st. Stay with us. More to come after a short break.